Good morning. It's good to be back with you this morning. We was thinking about a story about something that took place in the 1600s. Two German priests, Lutheran priests, were having a discussion about prayer and beer. And they were on opposite sides of that question. And so one said, well, I'm going to go ask the Monsignor. And so he went up and had a discussion. He comes back and he said, the Monsignor said no. And the other young priest said, well, what did you ask him? He said, well, I asked him if I could drink beer while I prayed. And he said, well, you asked the wrong question. I'm going to go ask him. So he went up and he comes back and he said yes. The young priest said, well, what did you ask him? He said, I asked him if I could pray while I drank beer. We are in a series on the foundations of devoted disciples, and doing these things does not make one a devoted disciple, but devoted disciples do these things. And today we're talking about prayer. All of these disciplines have another goal. The goal is not to do the discipline. The goal is to meet the God that, and put ourselves in a place to meet with the living God, to meet with our Savior, to be open to Him. From time to time, I'll be sitting in our living room, our family room, and Susan will be next to me, and I'll say to her, did I tell you that I love you this morning yet? She goes, no. I said, okay, I love you, and I'll go check it off the box. So, you know, we chuckle because, well, that's absurd. You know, it's a loving husband communicates his love to his spouse, but you do that, but it's not, okay, I tell you I love you, I'll go check it off. I've read the scriptures, I'll check it off. I said my prayers, I'll check it off. You know, but that is missing the whole point. So I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. From Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, but when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by people. But I tell you, they've received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. He then goes into teaching the Lord's Prayer, which is actually a disciple's prayer. It's taught by the Lord, but it is actually a disciple's prayer. Years as a young minister and going through seminary and really seeking to develop my intimacy with Jesus, with the Spirit of God, with the Father, prayer I knew was essential to that. Here, Jesus assumes you're going to pray, but when you pray. So that's an assumption he makes upon those who follow him and name his name. This is a part of he knows and expects them to pray. When you do it, don't make a show of it. It's not to impress people. It is about an intimate time with your Father in heaven, an encounter with the living God. When you pray, when you bow your head, you are actually in two places at once. You are here on earth and wherever you are, but in the spirit, you are in the throne room of God. That's an amazing reality. So you can be at two places at once. But as I was growing in this, there were a couple of things that troubled me. And one was the encounter in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus comes back to his disciples and they're sleeping. How many of you fall asleep when you pray? Come on, hands up. Right, okay. And you feel guilty about it. How many feel guilty about it? You feel bad. I'm a terrible Christian. You're the ones laughing at you. Yeah, you think you're a Christian. You can't even stay awake to pray. Maybe you need to rest before you pray. Any of us that have had small children know that when they are tired and fatigued, you cannot have a good conversation with them. They need their rest. So maybe that's part of it. How many of you, when you go to pray, you have 1,000 things going through your head and you can't, and you keep trying to do this to them so I can pray? How many have that happening, right? And you feel bad because I can't focus on my prayer. Maybe the Spirit of God says, I know you got all these things on your mind. Let's talk about those first. Maybe. Well, I had a number of scriptures and I was, you know, as I was growing and looking at, and that one where Jesus said, can you not watch with me for 1 hour? And that troubled me because I had to honestly say, I'm not sure I know how to do that. Anyone else? How many find, can you spend 1 hour in meaningful prayer? And I said, I'm not sure. Now, I learned the early mnemonic of ACTS, A-C-T-S. You have adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You're praying for other people. But that's basically a monologue. I was going to retitle this sermon, Let's Meet, but it was already printed. Because it's not just about talking, but that's what it was. And that kind of mnemonic was, I would bow my head and I would go through that. And it was like a monologue and I got up and left. And that's really not a conversation. And I think prayer is less about a conversation, more about meeting God. And his disciples, one of the disciples in the 11th chapter of Luke says, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's when he taught the Lord's Prayer was in that context. So how do you pray? And in the early 80, 81, I ran into a book by Dick Eastman called The Hour That Changes the World. I would commend it to you, The Hour That Changes the World. And in it, he divides an hour into 12 5-minute segments. I have done it into 13, like this. I've added 5 minutes, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Now, don't take notes, because I have this sheet for you as you go out. I didn't pass it out in advance because you wouldn't listen to me. So now you got to listen. And we're going to walk through these 13 5-minute segments. Now, as you grow in prayer, and you work through these, and you don't have to do all 13, you don't have to do 10. You know, I encourage you to begin with to do as many of them as you can, and then you will find, well, you know, one time I'll spend 15 minutes in praise, or another time, some of you need to spend 30 minutes in confession. You know, I mean, especially him. So one of the things you want to do is you'll be able to move them. This is not a strict liturgy. It is a way of giving you some structure that you then personalize, and you engage God with it. So let's advance the slide here. So the first one is we begin with worship and praise, because in Presbyterian theology, before we do anything else, and we come into the presence of God, he is worthy of our honor and our praise and our adoration. And so we want to begin with a time of 5 minutes of praise. Now you could, you know, and we praise God for who he is. We thank God for what he does. And in years of being a pastor, when I said, let's turn to God in praise, inevitably people start thanking him for what he's done. But we praise him for who he is, that you are holy and good, faithful, that you are righteous in all that you do. We praise you because of who you are. Now, that necessitates you to get to know God better so that your heart can be moved to praise. And one of the things is to ask the Spirit of God, help me as I come into your presence to meet with you. And so you begin with five minutes of praising God for who he is. And you might want to focus on some aspect of God. We're told that in Psalm 145, to gain inspiration, let all the earth praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you take a look at the book of Revelation, All of heaven and earth and under the earth is compelled because of who he is, not by force, but because of his beauty and his holiness, his goodness. We have to worship him. My soul must because of who he is. Not out of a kind of a force thing, because I'm moved to who, because he is beautiful and he's holy and he's good and he alone is worthy. So you begin with 5 minutes of praise. Now, in 1978, I think it was, the Presbyterian Church came out with a paper called the Person and Work of the Holy Spirit. And the General Assembly in those days affirmed that all the gifts of the Spirit of God are operative today. And so in your life, the gift of what's called tongues may be operative. So after 5 minutes of praise, you may want to then spend 5 minutes in your prayer language. We're told in Corinthians that anyone who speaks in a tongue is speaking to God and edifies himself. So 5 minutes of praise and 5 minutes, that spiritual language. If that's not operative, then you move on to something else. And so one of the things is in our prayer time is rather than having a monologue, it's time for a dialogue. And so the third section is 5 minutes of waiting. Wait upon the Lord. It is very difficult for us to stop and be quiet and wait for the Lord to come. You said, hello, Lord. Now let the Lord come and be with you. You invite him back. This 5 minutes for me is a time when I'm offering myself and this time to the Lord. Lord, come and be with me. Come and make yourself present here. I surrender myself to you. And then I just be quiet and wait for 5 minutes or so. If I had you stand up and wait for 5 minutes, you would think it's a long time, you know, because we're not used to waiting. I was listening to a pastor who said, we were worshiping and I just sensed the Lord wanted to come and be with his people. So I invited him to stand and I said, come, Lord, be upon us. And he was asked, how long did you wait? He said, we waited half an hour. That would probably really irritate some of y'all because we're into instant. We want instant everything. You know, I mean, we want instant food. We want things done. We want pizzas in 30 minutes at our door. You know, everything. You know, I mean, if I took you back to the 90s where you had to dial up your internet, how many remember those days? You would be aghast because we want instant. And we also want God to instantly show up rather than wait. The work of waiting upon the Lord's presence. Wait for the Lord, because his promise is as you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. After that time of waiting to him, you come into his holy presence, like Isaiah did when he was in the presence of God. He said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, I've sinned, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. And it's a time of confession is the next section. It's asking the Spirit, show me, Lord, how I have offended you. Show me myself as you see me. I'm loved and I'm forgiven, but God, I know that there's things that I've did, said, embraced that I need to come before you with confession and ask the Lord to open my eyes that I might confess and renounce. That's different. If confession is a word that means to agree. I'm confessing to you, Lord, this was sin. My anger at this individual was selfish. And I renounce that anger and ask that you would forgive and bless them. Or, Lord, that thought of wanting vindication or the envy for that person that did so well and I wanted it for myself. I confess that envious sin, and I renounce that desire. So he asks the Spirit of God, show me, Lord, what is offensive in me. That's out of the Psalms. See if there's anything offensive in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Because we do not really see ourselves clearly. So after that, there's another aspect. It's called scripture praying. And that is where you learn to pray the scriptures. Now, you can just go to Ephesians and Colossians and read the prayers of Paul, or you can pray Daniel's prayer in the, I think it's the 7th or 9th chapter of Daniel. There's prayers throughout the scripture. You could pray the Psalms. And some of those are just prayers that Paul prayed for the church, and you can make them your own for yourself, for your family, for this congregation. As you are learning to scripture pray, you could, as you pray through Psalm 2, which was quoted by the early Christians in reference to the crucifixion of Jesus and Herod. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth have taken their stand, and the rulers gather against the Lord and against his anointed one. Well, how do you pray that? Lord, let me not stand in opposition to anything you're doing in my life and in my family or situations. Lord, keep me from opposing you unknowingly. And it continues on. Let us break their chains, they say. Break their fetters. Let's throw off their chains. And my prayer has been, Lord, chain my heart to yours. Fetter my mind to your mind. Let my heart and my desires be chained to you and led of you so that I am walking in your way. So you learn to pray the scriptures and make them part of your life. Peter, the Lord says, be holy for I am holy. Lord, I want to be holy, set aside for you. I set aside my mind, my thoughts, my wealth, my talents, my gifts. Lord, I want to walk in holiness as Jesus did. And so that's part of this is learning to do life and learning to be in communion with God as Jesus did. You know, Jesus got up early before dawn and went out and prayed. That was part of his custom. That was part of how he did life. And for decades, I started at Trinity, and then when I was over at the Huntington Beach Church, for decades, I would get up at 5 in the morning and go down and pray at the church, for the church. We saw God move in great, incredible ways. And if I relaxed that, things changed. But, you know, that was a very important aspect of my pastoring the church or being a pastor there, was interceding for the congregation. I can't do that here because of the distance, but I've worked to become now, start my days when I'm here, in here, and end them in here before I head home, as much as I am able. So we have the scripture praying. The sixth aspect is called watching. Now the watchman was stood on the walls of the fortress or of the city, and they would look over the horizon to see what's going on out there. What is the enemy doing? What are our troops doing? And part of what this is 5 minutes of saying, Lord, show me what you're doing in my life and in my family, that I might bless that and also encourage it and participate in it. But also, Lord, show me what the evil one's doing. Susan and I have had a tough week, you know, for a variety of ways. A whole number of things didn't go the way we thought they were going to go. And I found the temptation was to be discouraged and untrusting. And yet, rather than in a posture of saying, Lord, you are at work for our good in all of these situations that have not worked out the way we thought they were going to. And we're going to trust in you. So you're being aware of what the evil one's doing. Lord, show me how I am being worked by the evil one. Very important aspect. The next one is called intercession. And that's where we're praying for someone else. Tony Campolo said, his 6-year-old son said one night, I'm going up to my room. I'm going to pray. Does anybody want anything? Now, prayer is a divine it's a mystery. I think we're in a divine partnership in terms of prayer. You know, some people are hyper-Calvinists. That means they're more Calvin than Calvin, and John Calvin. And they say, well, if everything's predestined, why pray? Well, that's heresy. Paul, he would never say that. That's ludicrous. Because we are commanded to pray, and we're commanded to intercede, and to join God in what he's doing in this spiritual cosmic war that we got going on, and praying for people. I think it was Samuel who said, far be it from me that I sin against the Lord by not praying for you. Wow, think about that. Are you praying for your family? You're praying for your loved ones? Are you praying for your enemies? You know? It's really interesting when you pray for people you don't like. You start liking them. Maybe you don't want to start liking them, so you don't pray for them, but I would encourage you to do what the Lord says. And so what you want to do is intercession, and this is your role as a priest, part of the royal priesthood, is interceding for those around that don't know to pray for themselves. They don't know God. They don't know that he loves them. They don't know that he's involved in work. And then you got petition. That's the eighth. You know, we've been at this almost 40 minutes. You haven't even got to the gimmies yet. Right? Now we're at petition. Petition is asking for yourself. Lord, inviting the Lord into the situations that you need. Inviting the Lord to lead you in the decisions you have to make. Seeking what God wants for your life. I love the prayers of Paul for this. Lord, give me power that I can take hold of the love of Christ and know this love which is indescribable. Do that for the church. So you have a time of petition. And then a time of, next is the 5 minutes of thanksgiving. You know, the word thanksgiving is Eucharist. Did you know that? You know, the Catholics hold up the host, it's called the Eucharist. This is God's good gift. It means literally good gift. Eucharist, good grace. And there's so many things to be thankful for. Every time at night when I keep a cold thermos next to my bedside, and every time I take a drink out of that, and then I say, thank you, Lord, for cold, clean water. Because I was just in a place where it wasn't there. I was watching 8-year-old kids carry 5 gallons of dirty water to their homes. So for that, for the love of friends, for people that have loved me, encouraged me, forgiven me, for his faithfulness, there's so much to be thankful for. You could spend an hour just in thanksgiving. So we have 5 minutes of thanksgiving. And the 10th is singing. We're already 50 minutes into an hour. I don't sing. I preach, I don't sing. You know, I don't know if I told you, I was having lunch with one of my worship leaders one day, and we were having a cross, and we're talking about that. I mean, I've taken singing lessons. I had one singing teacher laugh at me. She said, sing this note. And I said, no. She goes, why not? Because you're going to laugh. And she goes, no, I won't. And so I tried it, and she laughed. And I quit. But anyway, I said to him, I'd like to sit in the front row because nobody can hear me. And he smiled and said, I can hear you. So I don't know where they were when they passed out the voice, but this has been part of my thing since I was a child. I was the one that couldn't sing. But I can sing alone. And I can sing one of the hymns. I can sing some of the praise songs. Some would turn on now Spotify, kick up a worship song and sing along with it. It says, sing to the Lord, all you earth. You know, sing to the Lord. That's part, 5 minutes of your time with the Lord is to sing to him. When my daughter was 4 years old, she came in. I was sitting and reading a book, and she came into the living room, and she said, Daddy, can I sing a song I made up for you? And I said, sure, honey. And so she sang this song. The tune didn't carry, didn't really rhyme at all, but it was the best song in the world because it went basically like this. You're the best daddy there ever is. It was absolutely the best. You know, when I sing to the Lord, that's his heart. He's not listening to the tune. He's the one that gives you the voice and the ability. But I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Who of you, when your children or grandchildren have not climbed up in your lap and just said, I love you, your heart doesn't melt? Where do you think that comes from? That's the image of God in you. And so we have 5 minutes of singing, and then the 11th is meditation. Now, Eastern meditation seeks to empty itself and get in touch with the universe. Don't do that. That's dangerous. You don't want to empty yourself. Hebrew meditation, the word means to mutter over, or to, so it's a focusing on. And so you meditate on on the living God. You might meditate on his glory. You meditate on his goodness. You meditate on his faithfulness. You meditate on the beauty of his creation. And you seek to fill yourself with that truth. You do not seek to empty yourself. But you're muttering over, you're mulling over in your mind those aspects. And Lord, open my mind to your beauty, to your goodness. Open my mind to your splendor and your grace. And so you're focusing for 5 minutes on him who loves you. And so it's the meditation is a very different thing for us. And you want to meditate on the Holy Spirit. You want to meditate maybe on the majesty of Christ, on the love of the Father, on the mystery of who this living God is that dwells within inside you. Now, having done all of that, you're at an hour, and it's time to just quiet and listen. Speak, Lord, for I'm here to listen. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I guarantee you most everyone here says it's hard for me to listen and hear God. You know, a mother came into my, a mother came into my office many years ago and said, my five-year-old son won't listen to me. I said, well, tell me about it. What do you mean? She goes, well, he's in his room praying and I'll call him and he won't come. And I go and stand at his door and I just talk to him and he just ignores me. Until I yell his name, and then he turns to me and goes, what? And I said, now I know you as a woman, I'm gonna find this hard to believe, he doesn't hear you. What do you mean he doesn't hear me? He doesn't hear you. Guys, we have this filter. You know, he's not ignoring you, you just look him in the eye. I said, get down on your knees, look him in the eye, tell him what you want. She came back to me next week, she goes, that's amazing. I say, yeah, it is, isn't it? You know, I mean, we really, you know, I've been married 45 years and I hear this voice, a noise at the other end of the hall. And I said, 45 years, but honey, I don't understand what you're saying. I have to go, how many have that thing going on in your marriage? And he says, no, I heard a noise. What do you mean, Mike, you heard a noise? Why can't you hear me? Well, you know, it's the way we're wired, right? So you just go look at him in the eyes and tell him what you want. That's us. We are so distracted that we don't stop and focus and say, okay, Lord, I'm listening now. Speak. And with practice, you'll begin to hear. And you can always, Holy Spirit, help me understand. Because if the Father is loving, and he is, and gracious to you, and he is, what loving parent, if a child comes to you and says, help me understand you, would not want to help you the child understand. And then we close our time with praise like we began it, of bowing our heart before him and singing his praises, declaring his glories. You can use one of the doxologies in the scriptures about how good and glorious you are and faithful you are. And what is it about? God doesn't have an ego. He doesn't need me to praise him, but I need to praise him because it puts me in a place where I am in touch with what's real and what's ultimate. And I'm joining together with the myriads and myriads of angels and all the saints that have gone before us as we bow down before the one who is worthy to praise him and to meet him. I talk to people about prayer and they say, I pray all day long. And that's good. That is good. In the course of a day, I'll probably call Susan 3 or 4 times just to check in, how are you doing? How are things? And just chat about my day, her day. Keeps her connected to me, me connected to her. But that is good. And we talk, you know, on the way up as we're driving to church, we'll talk on the way home. But that is very different when we sit down face to face and talk about what's going on inside of us and our hearts and in our difficulties. That is what happens when you set aside that hour and find that hour. Augustine said, pray as if it depends on God, work as it depends on you. And we can work as hard as we can, But the church, before anything else, ought to be people of prayer, communing with the God of the universe. They say that James, the half-brother of Jesus, had knobby knees from being in prayer so much. Prayer ought not to be an ordeal that we have to get into. It ought to be the favorite hour of the day, because you're meeting with a God who loves you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love for us and your grace and your peace. Lord, forgive us for the many days that we get up and we go running through our day and we leave you sitting in a chair waiting to talk with us, waiting to meet with us. Forgive us for being so busy about things that are not ultimately important that we make no time for you. I pray for each one here that, Lord, as they learn to meet with you as you expect, that you would come to them and they would sense your presence and your love, your compassion, your concern, that their time with you would be refreshing and renewing, and it would become the joy of their day. That you, in the midst of all the billions of people and galaxies beyond our understanding, would come and spend time with someone like me. To you be the praise and the honor and the glory forever and ever. And God's people said, amen. As you go out the door on that table between the two doors, there are stacks of these. Feel free to take one, put it in your Bible. I found it very helpful. And I would commend Dick Eastman's book to you. It was really helpful to me. God bless you.